What do you need to know about the artificial intelligence technology that you may have already implemented or may be considering implementing, or more importantly, as a business owner, that your team wants to implement into your business? Stick with Wolf's Watch. Today, we are starting part one of answering those questions. Welcome to Wolf's Watch. I'm Wolf. This is live 21st Century Television. We are live and interactive. So bring your questions, bring something to write with. Today we are into part one of the dark side of AI. What do you need to know about what you're installing, this technology? Questions that you need to ask. And this is not going to be a deep dive on technology, right? You have people in your organization as a business leader, right? As a business owner that are handling the tech. As a business leader, we want to talk with you about, let's have a conversation on how does this work? What are the considerations? What can affect your business from a legal standpoint, an ethical standpoint that could have an unintended consequence? Like, for example, imagine that you are a software engineer that created a program, a software package that you sell in the marketplace. All of a sudden, you're finding out that your code that you wrote and that you charge people to use is now being embedded in code that companies are using because it's being produced off the internet by an AI tool, an artificial intelligence tool, an artificial intelligence chatbot. Because you may have heard that some of the chatbots, like, well, I don't want to mention any brand names because we're not attacking, we're not attacking the technology or the people that are creating and putting it in a marketplace. This is a question that you need to consider. Who owns what you're using from the AI tools that you are installing into your business or considering install into your business? Just getting excited and tongue-tied again. Look, so coming back to the software question. If one of your marketing people uses an AI chatbot or another AI tool to generate a web page, a landing page, or to generate some specific code to accomplish something that they want to do with one of your web pages, who owns that? Where does that come from? Right now, there is a class action lawsuit that's working its way through the courts where a group of software developers got together and they said, hey, look, we're finding pieces of code that we wrote and we still own the rights to, or at least that would be their argument going into court, right? That it's being poached by AI tools that people are using because they're taking their code and embedding it into programming that the chatbot is writing or the AI tool is writing. Now, who owns that? Do they really have, for one thing, the legal ownership of the code that's being used? Second, does the company that marketed the tool that you're using then really own that code? Or third, do you own that code? Does your company own that code because it was generated for you? Right? When you hire a software developer to create something custom for you, or when you hire a graphics designer to bring something to create something that's custom, a custom logo, a custom graphic to use in an ad campaign, who really owns that? And do you have the legal disclosures, the legal documents to back that up, right? Because unless, for example, with a graphic designer, I went through this when we were having our logo for Adventure CEO designed. We made sure that, and it was something as a designer we've worked with before, and we worked through the process of going, yeah, when the design was done, they sign off on a document that acknowledges that's ours. We have the right to use it. There's no further, that person has no further rights to the artwork that they created for us. And we acknowledge that person. The same person did a book cover for me. Love to acknowledge that person for doing the book cover to help promote them in a way of saying thank you for the great work that you've done. But yet it's still legally our artwork at that point. But what happens when you get into the artificial intelligence arena? This is a question that you need to consider because it can put you on either legal problems or ethically shaky ground. Now, I'm not an attorney, so that's a question for your attorney who may not be able to answer that right now. This is a gray area. There's a lot of stuff that's changing really fast. Watching for your comments here. There's a lot of stuff that's changing really fast. So they, you know, and maybe something are going, yeah, you know what? We need to dig into that. Or they may have a solid answer, or they may be able to advise you in saying, hey, look, this is where things are at the moment. This is what may be changing. You may need to find someone that's a specialist in that area to seek, you know, to seek some actual legal counsel. So not giving legal advice, just saying these are questions you need to pose to make sure you don't have something that you start using now that 6 months down the road bites you hard because somebody shows up knocking on the door with a piece of paper from a court that says, hey, you owe us, or you have to stop using us. And now it's a critical part of your business process. Second thing that we want to talk about in part one here is imagine that you have one of your children, newborn, in fact, is having trouble eating, not eating correctly. So you go to the hospital and the doctors are working on it. Your child's in the hospital for a while. You stay by the hospital, you stay by the your child's bedside. And then when it looks like your baby's starting to get better, start asking about when can we bring the baby home. All of a sudden, child services comes in with all the paperwork already completed to take custody of your child because they've deemed that you are not an unfit parent or unfit parents if you're a couple. Well, how could that happen? Right now, there's a case that is being investigated in one of the, wait, let me make sure I get this right for you. So I was reading, this was an article that posted in the last couple of days. There is a case that's being investigated to find out, was it the hospital's AI supported system that is used to predict unfit parents to predict where children are at risk in the homes and automatically notifies children's services to get them involved to do an investigation? Was it something that was triggered by an AI that incorrectly assessed the situation, or at least assessed it in a way that a human being wouldn't? Because how could you, and this is the question the parents are asking, look, how can we be unfit parents if we're the ones that brought our child to the hospital before our child got into serious health problems because we were concerned? Right. So now that's being investigated. See, does this AI tool that the hospital is using somehow triggering a process that has gone completely off the rails? And unfortunately, they've now lost custody of their child while this is all being investigated. So does your AI give you reasonable answers in the context that you would think as a business owner? Is it giving an accurate answer? Because it could be that there was some, you know, the context is different and totally unknown to you that's being used by this AI tool or an AI chat. You know, the chatbots are all the rage right now. So let's focus on that. So someone had gotten an answer from a chatbot, applied that information within your business. And now you find out, you know what, context is wrong. It's just flat out incorrect. And now there's challenges that have come from that. So you need to be careful with the information and how are you dealing with that within your business? If you're going to use AI chatbots, what are the guardrails you're putting on that to make sure that the information is correct, that it is keeping within the context and values that you've laid out within your company before allowing that to be used? If it's something that's internal, you know, going wide internal, or is being used that your customers, prospective customers, are exposed to. Third thing we want to touch on briefly is imagine you're filling out a form on a website. And this happens a lot, right? We go to a website, there's some information, a freemium, you know, we're saying a freemium being, it's just a marketing term for, yeah, give me your email address and I'll give you this free thing. So there's really a price, right? The price is your contact information because they want to keep in touch for marketing purposes. Well, imagine you're filling that out and it says, yeah, this piece of information is required. This piece of information is required. You have a question. So you go to the chat utility that's being used on that website and you get some answers from that about what's required, what information they're really looking for, because something's not clear. You go back, you fill out the form, and it turns out that the chatbot that was used on their website by that company lied to you in order to manipulate you to fill out the information. And this is something that cropped up on Twitter today. Somebody posted a case study and the background on it, where some research is being done, and found out that one of the chatbots that they were researching actually lied to get someone to fill out a form. And what happens if your chatbot does that? How do you know? You know, what are the ethical concerns again that you need to look at? And how are you making sure you're asking the right questions of your team, right? As a business owner, you should not be dealing with the technology like this. You should be asking these questions to make sure that your team is thinking about, hey, you know, what are we doing? How are we doing it? Should we do it? And what are the potential side effects that are foreseeable? There's always going to be things that at this moment aren't foreseeable. Maybe, as long as with focus and consideration, as more information becomes available, maybe not. But to at least be able to address what you can now. And these are known issues, that there's biases. There's issues over context. There's issues over who owns what that are being tried in the courts. Also for text to graphics, there's some court action around that. May or may not be an issue for you in your business, regardless of how it turns out in the courts. May or may not be an issue depending on how it turns out in the courts. You need to be aware of it. You need to be asking the questions. And the third thing is, you know, is it even just flat out lying in order to get a result that you've asked it to help you with? So consider these questions. Be asking these questions of your team, of the leaders that you're developing, so that, you know, that you're delegating to within your company, right? Because as your company grows, you need to develop a leadership team. You need to ask them the right questions in order to be able to coach and mentor them, and to make sure that this new technology doesn't run off the rails or push your company off the rails. You know, overall, I'm super excited about what's happening with the artificial intelligence tools. This is huge. It's just a massive benefit for productivity, for creativity, for being able to do more stuff, be able to research more effectively. Powerful tools. Got to ask the right questions, though, because we see this with every technology wave, where there's always ethical concerns that can become a problem if you're not paying attention to them, and other issues that crop up as they're being implemented over a period of time. The risk with this particular technology wave is the prediction, the smart money, the experts on the tech are saying there's going to be a wave. It's going to happen fast. It's going to be a couple of years, and things will be radically different afterwards in terms of the tools and processes we're using in our businesses, the tools and processes you're using in your business, unlike the personal computer wave, right? That took most of the 80s to happen. The internet and e-commerce took most of the 1990s. It happened faster than personal computers, but it took most of the 1990s. So you can see, you know, cell phones took a few, you know, 5 years. Everything was different when smartphones hit. So each technology wave is happening faster and faster, which means any issues that you miss now are going to bite you faster and harder, and it will be harder to undo. So consider those. Thanks for being part of Wolf's Watch. Appreciate you being part of the conversation. This is 21st Century Television, live and interactive. Bring your questions. You're watching this on the replay, listening to this on Spotify. Thank you. Click the like button, subscribe so you can get more information. We're streaming our email address, info@adventureceo.com. If you are interested in our new weekly newsletter, which gives highlights, inside information from interviews that we do that's not included in the interviews from our pre and post show conversations. Just a brief, quick read that comes out once a week. Thanks for being part of Wolf's Watch. Appreciate you being part of the conversation, and I look forward to seeing you on the trail.